everybody, welcome back to another episode of Talking Pollocks, number 4. Sean's here with me too.
Hey! How's it diddling?
Very energetic, Sean.
I know, for 9:30pm on a Wednesday evening.
I know, thanks Sky News for making us record this so late. This one's on you, Beth.
It was our decision, but we felt it was probably the right call, right? Apart from the fact that you're half asleep.
Ugh, we needed to watch the debate before we recorded the podcast, right? Because we couldn't... The debate was on during when we would normally record the podcast, and we thought it was going to finish at 8:30. Fair enough. Finished at... what time did it finish? 9 o'clock?
Yeah, well, it was 9:02, because Beth was like, I need to finish, because she was panicking.
She was panicking a little bit. Yeah, who was up next on Sky News? I can't remember.
It was Sophie Ridge was going into the spin room to continue.
All very fun.
The fallout from the debate is, from the battle of number 10 is...
Is it?
From Sky News, but a lot of that we'll have to discuss next time.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm sure more will unfold over the next few days.
We've got a lot to get through.
And the last week has been hella bad. Pack jam full.
Yeah.
I've got all my words mixed up there.
Yeah, put them together in the right order.
Should
and try again.
Back in.
Yeah.
Okay. Last week was hella jam packed.
Well done.
There we go. I got there in the end.
It's okay. We can edit out.
I'm not going to edit that. Yeah, I know. I know you won't edit that out. I just know. I just know it.
It's 9:30. Let's do this.
Yes. So the last two weeks.
2 weeks. I mean, the campaign has been a crazy one as well. To be fair, it's been a really weird campaign. We'll start. Where should we start, Sean? Let's start with something nice and easy. The Lib Dems. Let's start with them.
We're starting with the Lib Dems again. So can you guess what they've been out and about doing?
Has Ed Davey been jumping in Lake Windermere again?
It wasn't Lake Windermere, no. It was a lovely lake, he said. It was lovely and clean. He made a point of that.
Oh, okay, good.
He was, I can't remember where it was, but he was at like a... do you remember the TV show Total Wipeout, presented by Richard Hammond?
I do remember the TV show presented by Richard Hammond.
Yeah, well, it was essentially an obstacle course like that.
Right.
All over water, and there was all these obstacle things that he had to do. And of course, it's Ed Davey, so he ended up in the water many
times. Well, like
an
outdoor activity centre.
Yes, obstacle course all over a lake. So you fall off an obstacle, you're in the water. That's the gist of that.
Wiped out, you might say.
Wiped out, yeah. And he, being Ed Davey, he was in the water a lot because, you know, he's a bit of a fool.
Yeah.
But other big Lib Dem news. Mm-hmm. The manifesto came out. They were first.
It did. They got first past the post.
They did indeed. They
put a bit of political humour there for you, folks.
They released their manifesto, and they released a full costing document with it.
Oh, nice.
And which I think is going to be a trend with political parties releasing their manifesto. The Conservatives.
This never used to be a thing. They never used to do this, right?
No, it's because back in the day. Say that like I used to vote. You could trust politician.
Just for reference, ladies and gentlemen, Sean started voting in 2014. Stone silence says that he's counting.
Doing the math, so I left school in 2013.
Wow.
So 2015, I would have started voting.
Oh, I'm 1 year out.
I know, crazy, isn't it? Crazy.
We'd be shit on on that TV show presented by the. Not so well liked Philip Schofield.
I like Schofield. I think he was misjudged. Okay. No, but that's a whole different topic.
That's a whole different podcast.
But that's when you could trust politicians and you didn't expect them to release policies that fucked up the economy. I mean, that didn't quite go to plan.
Strong opinions there from Sean on the Lib Dem manifesto. Do go on.
But the thing with the... So the thing with the costings documents, and it's a trend in...
Okay, we'll touch on this, because we've got the manifest special.
We have got the manifesto special coming up, but that's why I'm talking about general...
Okay.
So the costing documents. So I know we're going to touch on the Conservatives probably shortly.
Yes.
But they've obviously also released their manifesto this week, along with a costings document.
Oh.
So they've both got this costing document. And funnily enough, the amount of... cuts equals the amount of increases in spending. So it's, they sort of marry up, and both documents, even though the figures are fairly different,
yeah,
they still both manage to line up. But they, some of the figures are from the same place.
It's like when you pay a builder and he doesn't use all of the materials, so he takes some back, but then miraculously there's an extras bill that just so happens to be exactly what you've paid him.
Exactly.
To do the job.
Exactly. So my favourite one. So something that all parties are looking at doing is cutting down on tax avoidance.
Okay.
And that tax
gap there. So
this is,
so just for our less well-read listeners, Sean.
Yeah.
Tax avoidance. Where are the biggest areas?
So there's quite a lot of areas, and depending on what political party you ask, depends on what they would class as tax avoidance. So you ask Labour, they would say the non-dom status is tax avoidance. It isn't technically, because it's legal. But tax, so it's about closing loopholes in tax laws to ensure that everyone is paying what they should be. So obviously, we know that multi-millionaires and billionaires, they find loopholes, or they get accountants to find loopholes, you know.
This is why all Formula One drivers live in Monaco, right?
Exactly. So it's about making the people who have that money pay.
Yeah.
But both the Lib Dems and the Conservatives have costed that in their costings document.
Interesting. It's money that we don't currently have, and that we don't currently go after, that we let people get away with, that they're guaranteeing a 100% capture rate.
Yeah.
On that. So they're saying they are going to completely stop tax avoidance in those areas.
Yeah.
That's a bold claim.
It is a bold claim, but
is it realistic? I think not.
I also think not. But the figures are very different.
Okay.
So I'm just getting the figures up. So the Lib Dems, for example, so Tackle Tax Avoidance Evasion.
Yes.
They've said that they can raise by, in the year, so leading up to the year 2028-29, which is the end of the parliament, that they can raise £7.2 billion.
So this is money that's just being
So that would normally be paid as tax.
Yeah.
But because of loopholes in the way the law is written and interpreted, is not being paid. Because if you took it to court, it could be argued that tax isn't due because of these loopholes.
Sean, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the shittest thing has just happened ever. My pen has run out.
Oh no, not your pen. Do you want a pen here?
No, it's okay. I have a drawer filled with pens.
Excellent, excellent. We
it's
do.
Okay, I have a pen. No, carry on, that's fine. So I like to take notes, everyone, while we do this. No, it helps to, because I have a crap memory.
Yeah, yeah.
Do continue, good sir.
So it's people who would normally be paying tax, but because they've got these loopholes in the way the law is written, they don't have to pay their tax.
So technically what they're doing is legal.
It is, yeah. It's completely legal.
Nice.
But so what all the parties are saying is we'll rewrite the way the laws are written to close these loopholes. We'll put new laws in to close these
loopholes.
There's
a reason why that hasn't been done, I'm assuming.
Well, sometimes it's because of developments in how finance systems and stuff work. Sometimes it's just because of new ways of interpreting stuff.
Sometimes it's just bone idleness.
Sometimes someone can come into a position and go and think of a new way of interpreting something, and that's a new
one
that will then have to be filled.
Of course, because the law is open to interpretation. You tell me this all the
of
time.
Of course. So it's never black and white.
Yay, like grey areas, my favourite.
Bone idleness is totally a thing. So when you're writing these 1,000-page documents to set out a law,
yes,
sometimes you do get a bit complacent in typing and, you know,
I mean, this happens
in
the wash-up, right?
And stuff like that. Yeah, it's you know, anyone, we're all human at the end of the day, so we're likely to make these typos or
this reminds me of that
like
scene
that.
From Brooklyn Nine-Nine when Amy Santiago is trying to get a street permit and the woman that created the system of getting a permit had intentionally made it so that you couldn't do it without getting a prerequisite form that you couldn't get without getting the other form.
Yeah, so it was an endless loop.
She got stuck in the cycle.
But moving back to my original point, so as I said, the Lib Dems think they can make £7.2 billion by 2029.
So, I just feel like...
The Conservative...
I said this last week, I just feel like they're not being serious.
The Conservative Party...
Hang on, we're not on the Tories yet.
Horses. I'm just comparing these two numbers quickly.
Okay,
as I'm saying, okay. So the numbers are they're costing the same things.
Honestly, can't get the staff. Sorry, go on.
They're costing the same things, but their numbers come out differently. So 7.2 billion for the Lib Dems.
I fail to see how maths is different.
We've got 5 billion for the Conservatives. They only value it at 5 billion. So if their figures are true, that's a 2.2 billion gap in the Lib Dems' figures.
But if the Lib Dems are true, what are the Tories hiding?
Well, if the Lib Dems are correct, then that means that the Tory manifesto looks far better than it is. Because it means they can make £2.2 billion extra.
Yeah.
In revenue. And that means, you know, the national debt will go down, there's more money to spend, there's more money to be able to do tax cuts.
So what the Lib Dems have inadvertently done is made the Tories look quite good.
Yeah, yeah. So well done, Ed Davey.
He's really doing well, isn't he?
That's my interpretation.
Why was he ever made a Knight of the Realm?
Services to politics? I don't know, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a reason, but we just haven't researched without recording this. Anyway, moving on. I mean, they've made a few... the big one for me from the manifesto before we move on to the Tories for the Lib Dems was, really more than anything, the long-term rejoining of the EU plan.
Yes, yes. So,
They want to enter the single market first, right?
Yeah, so I don't know if you remember back to 2019, all them years ago.
Oh, my God. Was that 5 years ago now?
Yeah, Jesus. 5 years ago. So, 2019, the Lib Dem manifesto, their front page was... Rejoin the EU. Their front page was rejoin the EU. Okay?
What is it this time?
This
has it got the dinosaur on it from last week?
This time, their front page is for a fair deal, which is their slogan for this campaign.
See, I don't necessarily agree with this because it's ripping off the Brexit Band-Aid and opening the wound. Deal.
Yeah, but...
It's done. Let it
but
go.
They haven't. They
Put
haven't,
your bags down.
They haven't Ed. U-turned on their Brexit ambitions.
No, I think it would be wrong for them to. They're not going to win at the end of the day. They're not going to win any seats if they ran this election based on rejoining the EU or anything like that.
No.
It's just not going to happen because the country decided. We've all accepted that decision. Well, 99% of us have accepted that decision.
And have sort of just got on with our lives.
And we've got on with it. Now, you know, whether you think that's the right decision or not, it happened. Again, put
Move
your bags
on.
Down.
Yeah, and carry on.
And, you know, like I was actually talking to my mum earlier during the TV debate. And I said to her, she asked my opinion of what needs to happen at this election. Right, going off on a huge tangent. And I said to her, things need to change. Personally, I feel like... Things don't work as well as they used to. Not necessarily in the last 14 years, but even thinking back 6 or 7 years. When I was 19 years old, when I got my first flat, it didn't take me a week to get a doctor's appointment. Things were better back then. So for me, things just need to get that little bit better.
I do totally understand. I do totally understand your points there. And I think we are, even in under the current government and the way that things are currently... can start to see if you look closely enough at the data, the tide is starting to turn. So we've been on this downward spiral,
which isn't necessarily a direct result of Brexit.
No, definitely not.
The pandemic contributed to that massively. The war in Ukraine contributed to that massively. The war in the Middle East, I would probably say, has had,
not so
has
much.
Had a not as big as the
Ukrainian.
But you've
got the Houthi causing the issues in the Red Sea because of the war in the Red Sea.
Yeah, there was another ship attack there down there today, which is all going to be a problem for the incoming government, whoever that is.
Exactly. You've also got...
I think they should have gone with a better slogan. Going back to the original point that we were making, which is a fair deal, the Brexit wound has been closed and it needs to stay closed. And I think the Lib Dems promising that they've got a long-term ambition to rejoin the EU is going to anger more people than excite more.
Yeah, so in their manifesto this time, you have to go to the very last section of it to
the very
read
last
about
page.
Brexit.
So, I mean, it was the front page last time.
And it's the
so
very
it's
back.
Contrast.
It's the very back now.
Yeah.
And so initially it would be integrate with the single market.
Yeah.
And then with an ambition for long-term rejoining of the EU is what they've said.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't think that is the right approach. Like you've said, it's people had enough of Brexit. Brexit went on for six years, even into Rishi having to do the Windsor framework at the beginning of last year,
which people still weren't happy with, i.e. Nigel Farage.
So, and I don't think the problem is with the job of Prime Minister is you have 70 odd million people to please. You're never ever gonna please every single one of them.
Yeah, and you know, just looking into the TV debate for the Lib Dems, they've made mistakes as well. Think back to when Nick Clegg was in coalition with David Cameron.
Oh,
and the Lib Dem manifesto said that, you know, they wouldn't rise tuition fees, and then they backed it in the House when the Tories brought it to them.
That was brought up at the TV debate last time, wasn't it? And Daisy Cooper said it was a very tough time for them.
She said it was, a sore subject for us, for sure.
Yeah, so
that was a very difficult decision.
But the thing with all parties, all three of the big parties, so I would class the Lib Dems as a big party. Over the years, they have
won. They're growing as well. They're predicted in the polls to win 49 seats.
Yeah, all three of them are pushing the theme of we've learned from previous mistakes.
Yes, but this goes back to my point that I made last week of they need to take the election seriously.
Yeah, definitely. But
is Ed Davey necessarily the person to do that? The thing is, though, when he sits down with journalists and reporters, I've said this before, he is quite a down-to-earth guy. He comes across to me, at least,
as very genuine.
As quite a genuine guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to be this clown man jumping off an inflatable swan.
But I do. Like, I do.
He doesn't need to go to Thorpe Park and ride a roller coaster.
No. I do see the point of why they're doing it. But I agree with you. It's giving them the wrong image.
It's not a good look.
Like they want publicity, so they're doing all these stunts. But it's the wrong look that they're giving off the childish we're not taking this seriously vibe when they need to be doing events that, like Reformed, trust, like look at Reform, they've had a few events where they've been told the same day, the journalists have been told Nigel Farage is making a statement at 4:30, and all of the journalists there, all of the big news corporations were there, you know. That's what they need to do. They need to be grabbing people's attention in that way.
Yeah. Well, that will move us nicely on, Sean, to the next bit.
The next bit?
The next bit, which is aptly titled in my notes, Reform and Others.
Reform and
because
Others?
Because Nigel has made a point this week, straight in with Reform.
Yeah.
He's made a point this week that some pollsters out there, I can't remember which ones exactly, are not counting Reform as its own party, okay? They're still counting Reform under, quote, other.
Other.
Yes. So Nigel wasn't happy about this, and he took to X, formerly Twitter, to say, well, you've got to say it. We're still in that crossover period, I feel, aren't we? He took to Twitter to say how angry he was, and he tweeted them and said, you know, this needs to change. We're a big party now. And to be fair, he ain't wrong. Most recent poll, 1 point behind the Tories.
So I was that this is interesting. So this was a YouGov poll, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That showed the Tories were on 18 points and Reform was on 17 points.
Yes.
So there's been some polling is a very difficult area to understand it fully. I don't understand polling.
Again, going back to Sean's previous comment, we're human.
Yeah. And it's polling can be a bit of a mess because
I mean, that's putting it politely.
it's reliant on having a large enough pool, hard word to say. A large enough pool of survey. You need to have enough demographics covered. You have to have enough political backgrounds covered.
I think this is my Sky News poll. This is the one that I've been using
And they do the poll of polls.
Exactly.
Which obviously,
it's the biggest poll. It gives you the best idea, doesn't it, of what it might look like on July the 4th.
Yeah, and the thing also that we have to say about polling is that it's all well and good surveying 2,000 people who have signed up to be part of this focus or this pool of survey.
Are they necessarily going to go to the box?
But that's 2,000 people. Are 50 million people who, I a very large amount of millions.
A good amount of people.
Going to vote, who are eligible to vote, are they actually going to vote?
Yeah.
You know, the way this campaign has been run, I don't see the turnout being overly high, which potentially might work in the Tories' favour.
Mm.
But I just don't see the turnout being very high for this election. Like, we don't have a famously high turnout record anyway.
No, that's true. The local elections, the turnout was pretty abysmal.
It was shocking. It was absolutely shocking. I think the Brexit referendum was the highest turnout we've had.
Yeah.
I think Boris Johnson in 2019, he had about 72% turnout, which was relatively high in terms if you look at the past numbers.
Yeah.
But this time, people are so dismayed by politics, and politicians themselves, Keir Starmer and Rishi Sunak, I just don't feel people trust either of them.
No, it's hard to trust people that don't do anything.
Yeah, and that was a big part of tonight's TV debate. A lot of questions about trust.
It was. I mean, that moves us, people not trusting politicians. Nigel has been attacked yet again, this time not with the milkshake.
No, this time with building materials. Wet cement, I read.
Now, we said this last time. Stop throwing shit at politicians. Like,
they're just humans.
Again.
You might not agree with them.
Like, I can't stress this enough. Like, we shouldn't be... If we want to be like a civilized society and grow and have jobs for everyone, we need to start fucking being nice to one another. It is a basic requirement. And if we can't manage that, we have got a serious problem in our society. It is a basic thing. Respect one another. No matter what your views, no matter where you sit on the political spectrum or whatever your disagreement on, stop throwing shit at people. Just stop it.
One thing I will say is, obviously, it is the few.
It is the few. The few that get the most publicity.
And it's
when they throw milkshakes.
That ruin it for the many?
It's the few that spoil it for the many, yeah.
So, we're lucky enough to have a fair democratic process.
Yeah, this
compared
is true.
To a lot of other people who have been to the polls this year, not naming Russia as well. I mean,
wow. Look at America. They use electronic voting booths. You know, we still use the good old paper and pen. You can't hack that shit.
No, but you also have a declining rate of people in this country who maths, so counting the votes might be different.
Yeah. It's okay, though, because Rishi's got a plan to make everybody do maths until they're 18.
And then national service.
Hooray!
And then you can count votes.
In the debate this evening, he was asked... we'll get onto that in a moment.
Yeah, we'll get onto that in a second.
But more news on the Greens.
On the Greens?
Oh,
no.
Yeah. So, two things, really. I wanted to just make a point of, quote, smaller parties, quote. They all seem to assume, and there seems to be a running theme, at least for me, through this campaign, that Labour's victory is a foregone conclusion and it's going to happen. And all the smaller parties, the SNP, the Green Party, Plaid Cymru, blah, 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 they all seem to think and they all seem pretty certain that Rishi Sunak is going to get the keys to number 10. Keir Starmer, is going to get the keys to number 10. It's not a foregone conclusion. Anything can happen. I mean, it might happen. The polls are the polls, right?
I genuinely believe that Keir Starmer, in one way or another, will get the key to Downing. Whether that is a outright majority or whether that is in coalition with someone else.
You know, to quote Nigel Farage, during that debate, Labour are going to win. The debate is who forms the opposition in the next parliament, and that's what Reform are going for. You know, the Green Party, they are standing in many seats.
Yeah, 500 and...
500 and something. 530 something. You know, that... It's good. We were talking last week about how the Green Party sort of revolution had kind of swept the EU. Maybe not so much in the latest EU elections. Very right. So much so that... yeah, I know. Hearts of Iron. It's. I'm thinking about it. Thinking about it. I can't wait for the mod.
Yeah, no. Modern day update.
You know, so the one thing I did want to ask...
Right.
...is why didn't Rishi Sunak and Keir Starmer go to the debate? Why did they send Penny Mordaunt and Angela Rayner?
Because the debate, it wasn't a leader's debate. It was never pinned as a leader's debate. Pinned as a political campaign event. And it was leaders or senior figures within the party were invited.
Right, okay.
And
just interested to know.
Rishi Sunak and Keir Starmer have... well, they did the debate the day before or 2 days before that, just on their own. They have a lot to be doing as well, so understandable. Rishi Sunak, after today, is off to Prime Ministerial. He's not going to be on the campaign.
Very true. Hmm. Well, moving swiftly on then. Oh, actually, one more point on the Scottish Tories. Ad, mentioned to me before, the leader of the Scottish Tories.
Oh, right, yeah. He, shock announcement on Thursday. He gave 30 minutes notice for a press conference.
Wow.
And announced his candidacy for somewhere in Scotland, Aberdeenshire North.
Okay, to be an MP in Westminster.
To be an MP in Westminster. So he already was one. Mm-hmm. And he's just running for re-election, but in a different constituency.
Right.
He is also an MSP, so a member of Scottish Parliament. He is also the leader of the Scottish Tory.
Oh.
He is also a UEFA linesman.
Wow.
So he...
Who has the time for
qualifies
all that?
...on the weekend. Well, that's the question that's being asked at the moment. The question is, how does he have time to do anything?
Yeah.
And has he been using his Westminster expenses to get to his football matches?
Oh.
So that's currently... He said, I'm happy for the Parliamentary Standards Authority to look into it. I've done nothing wrong.
Oh, okay. So he's fairly confident on that point.
He seems quite confident on that point. Okay. But he has said on the point about the controversy around how does he have time to focus on his constituents, etc. He has said that if he's elected as an MP, he'll step down as an MSP.
Okay.
But also, he is giving up the leadership of the Tory party in Scotland.
Citing that he doesn't have enough time, I presume?
I would assume so. No, I'm assuming it's so he can focus more on his constituents, whether that be as an MP or an MSP. Because he's always guaranteed...
So he's making a decision whether to drop the S or not.
A parliamentary salary, yes, pretty much. So do I... Well, he's not making that choice.
All this hubbub over the letter S.
He's not making that choice. The Scottish people are.
Ah, right. Well, yeah, of course. Good luck, Scotland.
Yeah.
Good luck. 4th of July. That's
I can imagine he's going to remain an MSP for a while.
I'm calling BS.
No, he wants no S.
No, that's right. Yeah, so just B.
B. Bull.
Just bull. All right. Well, moving swiftly on then to Tories. Let's do the Tories. We'll leave Keir for last, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Tories. So, the big story, obviously, of the week, Dawn. Somewhat somber. Rishi left the D-Day celebrations in Normandy early.
He did.
Former TV interview.
Did. And he apologised.
Unreservedly.
Unreservedly.
Which he has said many times.
And he has also asked for forgiveness and hopes that people will find it in their hearts to forgive him.
Have you got his script?
It's not hard to remember. It's about 3 lines.
It's hard to see how it's heartfelt when... he's saying the same thing over and over again.
So the thing is, I do understand why he's doing that.
Of course, he needed to apologise. He did make a mistake.
In politics, it's The rule of thumb is you have to repeat something 15 times for it to be listened to in politics. So that's the idea of, that's why politicians are, we will repeat the same lines over and over again, because that's the rule of politics.
So politicians treat the British public like an unruly child.
Let's be honest, though, they're not wrong to.
No, I guess not. But not... yeah, he definitely made a... I would say that's the biggest gaffe of the campaign.
That is a big gaffe. He has apologised, as I said, and, you know, lots of people have been jumping on the bandwagon. Obviously, Labour and all the opposition parties were quick to criticise, but even internally, he's had some criticism. I know Penny Mordaunt on the debate last week criticised him.
Very heavily.
Heavily.
Did that come across to you as a little bit of a leadership bid? Do you think? I can't imagine after losing the election, the Tories are going to keep Sunak in place.
Well, I don't know. I think there's going to be a bit of a shift. If they do, it depends how badly they lose.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I think there is going to be a bit of a shift in the party. It depends whether Rishi Sunak retains his own seat, I reckon. I think that'll play a big part in it.
Yeah, that's true. There are many candidates standing in Rishi Sunak's seat. So, I mean, it could split the vote massively. I mean, could you imagine if Labour won the sitting PM seat? I'm assuming that's happened before in history.
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, I'm assuming it's considered a safe seat.
Interesting.
Account Binface is also running in Rishi Sunak's constituency, which is brilliant.
Yes. And there was one other, wasn't there?
Monster Raving Loony Party, right?
Oh, yes.
For something.
Yeah, I can't remember. But I don't think, going back to your question about do I think it was a leadership bid? No, I genuinely don't.
No.
If you want to see a leadership bid, Suella Braverman, hair stunts during this election campaign, that is more pushing for an election, a leadership bid.
Fill us in, what's she done?
So a couple of days ago she sent a letter to the Times. Open letter, they published it. Read, and essentially she was calling on the Conservative Party to embrace Nigel Farage.
What?
Yeah, embrace Nigel Farage. Basically invite Nigel Farage to be a part of the Tory party.
But he's the leader of Reform.
Yeah.
So what?
Not unlike the Reform to do a deal with the Tories in the past, is it? In 2019.
Or that's Nigel true. Farage, they could stand down candidates, but I don't think that would make any difference in this election. But Nigel Farage knows that.
She went further and she called for them to basically invite him into the Tory party.
I don't think that would happen under Rishi Sunak's leadership, I have to be honest.
I don't. In response, he's basically told Suella Braverman to join Reform instead.
Has he?
Yeah.
Ballsy, Sunak. Ballsy.
Farage. Farage told her.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry. Okay. So, ballsy Farage.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Lee Anderson did it.
Exactly. But, yeah, she seems to be trying to push for a bit of a leadership. But she's a bit of a twat.
In your opinion, who would be good to take over next? I mean, my vote would be Gove.
It'd be quite difficult because there's a lot of the people that I'd say would have been front runners are standing down at the election.
For me, Penny Mordaunt, Ben Wallace. I know he's standing down, but Ben Wallace.
Yeah.
Or Govey.
So the only one of those still standing is Penny. So
woo, Penny.
And I'd agree. Penny. I reckon Penny would be quite a uniting figure, maybe.
I think
what they need.
She's very Penny. Just circling back round to Penny.
Penny.
She's very Penny. She's very defence oriented. That's how she came across in the debate to me, at least.
100%. That's her background. You know, she's,
Navy, right?
She's at Portsmouth.
Yes.
She's the Member of Parliament for Portsmouth. She's from Portsmouth. She was in the Navy. She's now a Royal Navy Reserve. So. Mm-hmm. If it ever came to it, she'd go off and fight for the country. So she understands, and she's got quite a family heritage.
That's right,
the Navy. So she understands, and defence is quite key to her,
yeah,
as a politician. So it's quite right for her to be, and it's a very defense is a very deep rooted conservative pillar. It's again, it's understandable that she's a conservative,
and it got quite heated between her and Angie Rayner.
Oh, definitely. But what was really nice was at the end of the debate, they were shaking hands, they were laughing together.
Yeah, these people disagree on things, and this is what people having debates. Circling back to my earlier point, they didn't start throwing shit at each other.
No. They might have got a bit heated, and it looked like they were about to have a cat fight at one point, but they kept it civil and they kept it clean. And at the end of it, they were able to shake hands and talk. Well, it seemed like they were bloody friends.
Well, moving on from Rishi's gaffe and Penny's hair.
Penny.
The Tories have released their manifesto.
Oh, yes, they have. What a document. It's shorter than the Lib Dems.
By how many pages?
So the Lib Dems is 117 pages and the Tory parties is 80 pages. So it's 37 pages shorter.
Yeah, but I suppose with the Tories, there's a lot of fine print. But the Lib Dems have had to print theirs in font size 48.
No, what the Lib Dems have done is their paragraphs don't go above 6 lines. And they also have a space between every paragraph. So it's paragraph space.
Okay, fair enough.
So it's quite large print, whereas the Tories is a bit more small.
Quick highlights from the manifesto: halving NICs over the next parliament and abolishing them for self-employed.
Yeah, so essentially that would work out in the next parliament as a further 2% national insurance cut for us.
Cool.
Which is nice, and totally removing it for self-employed people.
Yep, and my other note here, going back to your earlier point, the costings have been released in this manifesto as well.
They have.
Again, which perfectly match the outgoings.
They did, yeah, with, I think it was, what, £0.1 billion to spare.
Oh, wow, we had, so.
We had leftovers.
The Tories will give you change, apparently.
But.
You'll get change.
Thinking about it, if we then add the extra £2.2 billion on from the tax avoidance that the Lib Dems found.
Oh, yes, the difference. So, yeah, we've just found, so there you go. We've just found £2 billion in the economy.
So you know, that's they're £2.3 billion extra in towards the debt going down.
We could get a tax. We could all get a tax rebate. Sean's looking at me.
I mean, the debt could go down first.
I think we should get paid for our hard work first.
At least let's work some of the debt off.
Credit rating will go up. We need to, because our credit rating went down, didn't it, last year?
Yeah.
As a country.
2A.
Yeah, something like that, which means we're great, but not as great.
I can remember before 2008, and this is really sad because of the fact that I was like a 12-year-old child.
NSGB, not so great Britain.
Yeah, I remember when Britain's credit rating was AAA+. I know, that's the highest a country could get.
It doesn't really seem like a credit rating, it seems more like a gym membership.
It does,
doesn't it?
I'd like the AAA+ membership, please. Can I go platinum on that?
Does that give you access to the spa?
If I pay annually, do I get a discount?
I think Penny did quite well at the debate, though.
She did.
She stood up for her points very well. She was a very clear speaker as well.
And she wasn't, unlike a lot of politicians, so you'll see when they answer questions, they try and skirt round.
What do you mean try? They all do it.
Or what they'll do is they'll start with the fluff.
Yeah.
And then go into an answer. Because what they're doing is, in their head, they're calculating the answer so it doesn't make them look stupid or sound like they're being ridiculous.
But standing there calculating the answer and giving us fluff makes you look stupid.
Well, it's better than Keir Starmer did when he was asked why he's a political robot this evening and he just completely froze on the stage.
I mean, that
like
was
he
hilarious.
Was waiting
it was,
for
it
orders.
Was like he was buffering.
Yeah,
it
like...
was... brilliant.
At least do some fluff.
Yeah. It was like the dial-up noise that was going through his head.
Yeah. We were saying about Rishi's antenna. We haven't found his yet.
No, we haven't found Kia's yet. We'll let you know when we find it. Rishi's was quite visible at that visit to the club.
But yeah, obviously, more of the Conservative manifesto, and obviously most of this we'll cover in the manifesto special.
The manifesto? Destiny Special.
Yeah, but obviously Rwanda. Yep. That is, they're going to be the only party really that continue it. So that's their big policy on immigration.
Yeah, that's one thing Labour have promised to scrap when the first day one in government, the Rwanda scheme, gone. Yeah, if you vote for them.
So that would have been a waste of money.
So, yeah, we'll cover the Tories more in the manifest special, right?
Indeed, we will. And their costings, as I said.
Yes.
Some of the figures don't line up. So,
we'll do a little bit of analysis for you and get back to you.
Get back to you.
Right. Last segment we've done, because we did others first, we did others second today. Jesus. So we're finishing with Kia and the Red Corner, Sean.
Kia and the Red Corner. Well,
can't help but notice. No manifesto yet, Labour.
No.
Fuck you playing at.
It's coming out on Thursday, which is tomorrow for us recording this, but will be today
for you listening to this. If you listen to it on release, if you're listening to it on, like, I don't know, like, what was that thing like that used to say on Top Gear years ago? If you're watching this on Dave. Happy 2029.
Yeah. So I feel like they've done that on purpose, though, because they knew the Sky News Leaders event was on this Wednesday.
Scoundrel, I said that during the debate.
You did.
But no, I agree.
But it seems like a very key point, because so tomorrow night there's another seven-way debate between all the parties.
Are they actually going to send the leaders, or is it going to be the seven parties, not leaders?
It's the same people that attended last week.
Okay.
So Penny, Angie, Stephen Flynn, Daisy.
Do you know what? Actually, just quickly on Stephen Flynn, I thought he was really good in the debate.
He was on fire with some of his points.
Stephen Flynn, hats off to you, man. You can debate, son.
Although when it did get to the questions, bring the SNP into dispute over finances and trust.
That's where he faltered.
Yeah, that was a bit of a dip.
He did turn politician there.
But he was on fire for the rest of the night.
He was, yeah. Kudos, Stephen Flynn. Kudos.
So, yeah, big shout out to him.
So I guess Labour have been quiet working on their manifesto. I think it's ready. I think they just waited until after the debate, like you said.
Yeah. So
make it easier for Kia, right? You can't question him if it's not there.
Yeah. So last week, all the big stakeholders in Labour met in
the NMC,
undisclosed
the
union, location.
The NMC, the NEC,
The union,
the unions, yeah.
Major donors and the shadow cabinet.
Unison, not one of the. I can't remember the names of the unions.
Unison, Unite, GMB.
GMB, that's it.
CWU.
Oh, is CWU in there, are they?
Yeah.
I used to be a member of the CWU when I worked for British Telecom.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So they all met in this undisclosed location that Sky News managed to find the location of within about 5 minutes.
Oh my God, where was it? Reveal.
I don't personally know, but Sky News were reporting live from outside of the bloody place.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Which was brilliant, because they were like, oh, here comes the shadow cabinet, they've done it! Shouting questions at them like they do.
You're going to resign, Prime Minister? God, good old Beth. She always says, but they never answer her, do they?
I know, they always ignore her.
Poor Beth.
To be fair, though, if some random woman shouted a question at you in the street, would you answer?
I wonder if when Labour's in number 10, or if Labour's in number 10, I should say, if they'll be any different when.
No,
if,
of course they won't be. You look back to when, if you watched, like, news broadcasts from 2008.
Yeah. One quick question for you, Sean. Did you know that Keir Starmer's dad was a toolmaker?
No fucking way. And shocking, his mum was in the NHS.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And his wife.
And his wife works in a major London hospital.
Major London hospital.
When asked what his biggest fear was on the debate this evening, he said what the effect of being PM would have on his children. Which I respect.
I respect that, because it is a... Being Prime Minister is not just a job on him, it is his whole family, you know, they moved to Downing Street.
Yeah, exactly, it's going to be a big thing.
And his kids are at that sort of age.
And I tell you what, his car insurance is going to go through the roof, because he'll have his points on those license for running over that cyclist.
Oh yeah, and London is notoriously expensive for insurance.
Yeah, I hope his car's ULEZ compliant. He drives a quick fun fact for you, Keir Starmer drives a hybrid Toyota.
Toyota hybrid. His first car was a Morris Minor.
And his second car, he nicknamed the Hedge because it had moss growing out of it.
Yeah, so his first car, Morris Minor, bought for £125 and it blew up.
I'm not surprised we paid 125 quid for it.
Yeah, he's like 60 years old, so this is like the 1980s. Keir
Starmer is 60 years old.
He's 61. He's 61.
He can get a fucking bus pass soon. He probably does, yeah. I mean, if he drives a hybrid.
I'm pretty sure he's got a secret, like a police detail and chauffeurs. I don't think he has to fucking worry about the bus.
Yeah, that's true.
And he has got a bus pass to Angie's battle bus.
It's got a fridge.
It's got a fridge.
It's got a fridge. They have kept harping on that they won't cut tax on working people, fair enough. They haven't committed to...
They won't cut tax.
I've actually written won't cut tax as well, which is hilarious. Tell us how late we're recording this, everyone. They won't raise taxes on working people. However, they won't commit to not raising taxes elsewhere,
They've ruled out the three big taxes. So they've ruled out income tax, national insurance, and VAT.
Okay, great.
No increases.
I mean, 20%. If VAT went more than 20%, there'd be riots, I think.
They'd be looting.
They'd be looting, yeah, because people wouldn't just get...
What is it that guy, for the union guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine says? Because riots lead to looting, and protest leads to riots, and riots lead to looting.
This is a very frustrating conversation.
they said that those three taxes are... Not going up,
they are ring-fenced.
However, and in the debate tonight, Beth Rigby really, really did push to try and
get him to
answer the question properly. He wouldn't answer the question properly. Just kept beating around the bush like they do. They've not ruled out any other tax rises, so council tax might not be safe.
What about the Tory-run councils? Oh, wait, there's not many of those anymore, are there?
Yeah, but the thing is, the ones that were Tory aren't bankrupt, so...
Yeah, that's a good point. Birmingham.
Northampton.
Oh, Northampton as well. I didn't realise. Yeah. Speaking of money, full fact of called BS on Rachel Reeves, Sean.
Yes,
She's made a claim that under the Tories, your mortgage would go up by £4,800.
Yeah, so this was based on the Tory manifesto. So she said her and her Labour team of fact finders and number crunchers were the words that she used on a BBC interview.
Because that's what you do with numbers, you crunch them.
They spent 5 hours... going through the numbers. 5 hours. It's an 8-page document.
Can I just point out that I sometimes spend longer designing kitchens for people?
It's an 8-page document and half the pages are empty.
What was she doing during that time, I wonder?
But what they managed to do is they have come up with this figure that they said, if the Tories impose these changes that they've said in their manifesto, then your mortgage will go up by £4,800 a year.
Full fact said, and I quote, it's speculative at best.
And makes many assumptions.
Many
assumptions. And is unlikely. It's some of them were like raising the... because of these, the Bank of England will raise the interest rate by a further 5%. That's not going to happen. It's just not. We're actually looking at the interest rates coming down.
Yeah.
So, that's got rid of it.
Reform have recently said, just on this, these taxes and claims and stuff, Reform have recently said that they want to raise the tax-free allowance to £20,000. Just... you can't just do that, okay? Just to try and briefly explain the maths here. The country would lose a third of its tax revenue overnight, effectively.
Almost.
Almost a third of its tax revenue overnight. That money's got to fucking come from somewhere, because that's money that we're currently spending.
Yeah.
Right?
And
spending quite a lot of it.
That's the thing, and it's really hard to cut through the bullshit, because they'll put out these pledges and you'll get to the election, people will vote for them based on these pledges.
And then whoever it is will stand on the steps of Downing Street and go, actually, fuck it, it's all wrong. Everything was wrong. We don't know what's going on.
I've checked the numbers. What I've got to do is reduce the tax threshold to £2.
Yeah, I have recrunched the numbers.
Yeah.
They've been recrunched.
What was a typo in the manifesto. It wasn't 20,000, it was 20p.
Yes. Brilliant.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, so, full fact called bullshit and said it was speculative. So, it'll be interesting to read the manifesto when we have it.
Yeah, no, they haven't said when they're going to be releasing this reform. But I will be interested to see the costings document for Labour to see...
Yes, same with Labour. We can't wait to see that one as well. I'm assuming that Reform will have a full manifesto, like the Brexit Party did.
Yeah, they'll have a manifesto. I don't know if they'll have a costings document, but Labour certainly will, and I can imagine that tackling that tax avoidance is going to be mentioned in there, and we'll love to see where their figures end up. Because if theirs are even higher, then the Tories are getting even better off from them.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, unfortunately, because Labour waited until Thursday to release their manifesto.
Yeah, so I think we'll have a manifesto special coming out this weekend.
Yes, manifesto special coming out this weekend. It will be a bumper long episode where we go through each manifesto in a little bit more detail than we did today.
Yes, definitely. Covering the key points.
Covering the key points. Sean... anything more from you?
No, just stay wonderful.
Just stay wonderful.
Just stay wonderful.
I wanted to add a little something. Be kind to one another. Stop throwing cement and milkshakes at people.
Please.
We'll see you next week. Don't forget to email us, talkingpollocks@griffandsean.com for your comments. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. And if you have any questions as well, please do drop us an email. Follow us on Twitter as well. You can catch us on Twitch as well. Griffandsean, twitch.tv/griffandsean. If you fancy watching us play some games badly and chat shit for a few hours an evening. Thank you for listening. Sean, thank you for being with me.
Much love.
We'll see you next week.
Much love, everyone.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.